Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jinnis.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. Today, we're going to be talking about depression. This episode is brought to you by Higher Self. It's a group of teachers, I'm one of them, to talk about the various ways that we can raise our vibrations on a constant basis. There's all kinds of ways that we can do it through yoga, tuning sessions if you come in, or if you get a reading from somebody, any kind of a way that you find insight that puts your perspective at a higher level. We do this through classes, whether it be through feng shui, whether it's healing through tuning forks that we use. We have singing bowls. We have various angel reading and angel tuning classes. And it's just a whole host of things that can keep our energy high. This is a special day in the sense that it is a new moon. In that new moon, it's all about reflection. So don't sign any contracts that you're going to be starting something, like forward motion things. This is a time where we're breathing in. Like weightlifters will always exhale when they are lifting something. But when you're breathing in, it's that level of calm. It's like you're taking a breath in. But the depression itself, this is something that's a big topic. When it came up, I said, yeah, that's a good topic. But when I finally got it downloaded of all the things, it's just like, wow, there's just no way I can be able to release a lot of the things that Spirit wants to talk about. So there may be a part two to this. So we'll see how it goes. The actual meaning, from a dictionary perspective, it's a mental condition characterized by the feelings of severe despondency and dejection. It's a feeling of inadequacy, often accompanied by lack of energy and disturbance in their sleep and appetite and so on. And it says that over 15 million just Americans have this particular energy. Now, I noticed that there is no such thing. It's one of the first things that Spirit said. There's no such thing as a depressed person. It does not exist. It's just like having a mosquito bite and a mosquito is sitting on your arm to say that part of my energy is the mosquito. But there's no such thing as a depressed person. They're just hanging on to that energy. We're going to get a deeper dive in that to give you some clarity of really what Spirit is talking about there. But all this is really starting when we were young. When we were kids, we had so much going on as kids. You know, when parents, especially if you were the first child or something, you were sort of the experiment child. Sometimes parents didn't know everything and they were always nervous and they tried to apply certain things. By the time they got to the second, perhaps even the third child, they started realizing, you know, there was a pattern to this and things changed. But in all essence, what it is that a lot of things have been done and thought of. It's always about something to do with other people. Your thoughts, in this case, is really heavily invested in what other people think of you. That's where the depression seems to start with most people. What if this person says something? I don't want to be rejected. You know, it's about somebody else saying something about them, and then they're thinking about that, and they're having a hard time with it. So one strategy that this is usually done with or executes is when parents start comparing one child to another or one person to another. Let's say there's a child that doesn't want to do sports, and they're just not really into the activity, while other kids are running around, and they seem to be doing well. So what some parents will say is, you know, your brother or your sister, your cousin, your friend, you know, look at what they're doing. Go ahead and do that. And that's really a slippery slope, what Spirit was saying, because in some cases, when we do that, there's almost a feeling of giving up. There's a feeling that, okay, well, whatever I'm doing is the wrong way, the wrong path, the wrong thing. And I should be doing what they are doing and mimic them. That really puts a huge disturbance on their path because for some reason, they could be more artistic rather than more athletic. They could be more number-oriented and more academically oriented than something that are artistic. everyone has their own path. And even if you have five children, they're all going to have a different personality. They're going to have a different sense of what they need to do and the method in which they're going to do it. When we look at comparing people in that way, what it does actually is it starts to contract your energy because you realize that you're going in one direction. Then you find out that for somebody else, in this case, it's the parent, or it could be a coach. Coach could be doing the same thing. If you're in hockey or some sports, he says, oh, you know that guy over there? He's a really good pitcher, or he's a really good score person. He can make a lot of goals. Do what he does. And what that does is that while you're on this, it doesn't even feel like it's an uplifting thing. Like it doesn't feel like I'm being celebrated. It's not encouragement. You know, it's more like what I think you are is this. And what that does to a child is that they look at it as, okay, well, I want to impress my coach or, you know, be okay with my parents. So I want to look up to them. So we do it because of that. And that's where some of this depression energy starts. Because right away, we're looking at other people that are in a different place than we are. And it doesn't really matter whether it's good or bad or anything. It's just not the path that you were on. You were just on a certain path. Then all of a sudden, you had to change it up. Because they saw your path as not being very valuable, not being very high performance, or whatever way and reason that they want you to now go into a different direction. What Spirit was saying is that when you compare yourself or when you compare kids, it is a form of rejection. Because what I was doing before, it's not seeing as valued. There's a sense of rejection there that what you're doing isn't right. And that brings in a level that, okay, I'm not enough. Because someone else thinks that I'm not doing enough. For them, in their eyes, I'm not doing enough. And that's why they brought it up with this comparison. So be very mindful when you're comparing people, comparing children, comparing friends, comparing whatever, because we all have a different path. And I know we know this as light workers. When it's actually spelled out, we can say, is it a form of rejection? And in some way, you'd say, well, I never thought of it that way, but I guess you can say it is because they were going in one direction. And I said, no, go here. Do what they're doing, because what they're doing is amazing. Even if they don't say what you're doing isn't appropriate, even if they don't even say that, they're suggesting it that if this is amazing, where was I going? That's a dialogue that's going on with the child. In terms of what they think that they are going for. So this is, everyone has that unique path and they have their own way of raising their vibration. And they thought at the time they were doing okay. You know, there's nothing more debilitating than going through a process and thinking that, oh yeah, I'm just rocking this. I'm just doing great. And then somebody says, do what someone else is doing. I said, oh, it sort of puts the brakes on where you thought you were. And so it's a real letdown. And that downward inner motion, it's a downward push. We feel it even in our early years as sort of a depression, but we went down, our frequency lowered. Where we are really following and the way the energy works is we follow things that we are called to do. It's a calling. It's a something that is resonating with us. There's an expansion level going on there. And so we are being guided by our own energies. All we need is someone just to see what we're doing, comparing it to someone else, and saying that, no, that's not the way to go. And then we don't know any better. We figured, oh, I didn't know. I just thought I was doing well. You know, if a person is drawing really well, and they're drawing on everything, and then somebody would say, why don't you go outside and play football or something, or go play baseball? And it's like, oh, I like drawing. I says, okay. In other words, just watch the comparisons when we're doing it with other people. Because depression itself can be silenced by this pressure, because that's what it really is, where we're being pressured by other people. And in the early years, we always obey or we always sort of go with it because we want mom and dad to be happy with what we're doing. So if they're sort of bringing it up, they're bringing it up for a reason. So we try to comply and we see where it's going. But it is about pressure and it's about some form of resistance in that way. But in nature, the depression is silenced by the same pressure. However, it's not from other people. It's from nature. Because if you look at anything in nature, it always will expand based on pressure and resistance. I mean, if you put a seed in the ground, if it goes down 6 inches, so that seed has to work against pressure and resistance to get through all of the soil before it comes up. And this is in the most ideal, most nutrition-based soil. But maybe the soil, let's say, isn't that great, or maybe there's a couple of little pebbles in the way as the seed is trying to grow through the ground to come up. But in that resistance, it's what makes the plant strong. Same as a butterfly. If it wants to come out of a cocoon, there's going to be a point there that is going to be very frustrating for somebody watching, in the sense that they know the caterpillar wants to come out, and so it's struggling and struggling. The wings are starting to open, but it's just at a point where it can't get through. And if somebody's watching this without really understanding the process of what's happening, they'll say, oh, you know what? That butterfly is really having a rough time. Let me help it. So they cut a little snip in the cocoon so there's more of a wiggle room, and then the butterfly comes out sooner. Only to find out that because of the lack of struggle or the lack of exercise that was able to really push it open, because the cocoon knows exactly how strong it needs to be for the wings to get strong so it could fly. And it has happened where a caterpillar turns into the butterfly inside, starts to get out of there, but for some reason can't get out right away. And so in the struggle, the wings become stronger and then it could fly. So without that struggle, a butterfly will end up never flying ever in its lifetime. And we tried to help. And so what is your definition of help? Sometimes we do most by doing nothing. And we know this from either parenting. There are some things that will just work itself out. But it's that struggle. I mean, if you look at a tree that's going into a storm and you're inside and you see this tree back and forth in the high winds and the storm, the tree isn't complaining. Because after the storm is done, it knows better than to make its roots stronger. So the next one that comes, there's no way that it's going to be able to pull any of the roots out. So it becomes stronger with more of the storm. The stream is the same way. If you look at a stream going through jagged, sharp rocks, you know, it doesn't resist. It just goes through the rocks, find its path through all of these jagged edges, and in time, the rocks become smoother and the pathway that the water is going through becomes easier. But it came with a lot of struggle, a lot of sharp edges, and a lot of very, very difficult things. Leaf is the same way. If you look at a heavy rainstorm, the leaf doesn't complain because it almost got booted off the branch. All it does is drink. It just drinks the water that it needs to. So when the storm is over, it can now have the sustenance to realize to get stronger, and then it can grow towards the sun. And that's really how things work. And what actually happens in this is the struggles we face, that in our words, because sometimes we look at struggle in a very negative way. Like, why on earth? Why me? Why did my path was so difficult? Like, I had a very rough childhood. I had to move out of my parents' place when I was 13 or 14. I had to grow up very quickly. And then I ended up going with somebody and they were abusive and all the things I had to go through. And people say, you know, why me? Why did I have to do all that? So it must have been sort of a way that when they are going through their depression, in a sense, it wasn't meant to break you. Anytime any obstacle comes to you, the intention isn't in a loving way to break you down. The intention is to get you close so that you'd bend, but not to the point where you'd break, because there's no fun in that. And even when you're in any kind of profession, when you get the kind of clients, when I first started tuning people, I wasn't getting the clients in the beginning that I'm getting now. not because of the amount of years I've been doing it, but because I have upped my game every single time it comes in. There's been a few times that a session has been very challenging, but afterwards I grew from it, and so did the clients. So did the people that are coming to me. As we've had long-term relationship with many of them, they come back for more and more, and they're always ever expanding. And I have followed their path and their progress through it, and always new stuff comes up. But because of the newer skills that I now have with the strength, I'm able to do it. It's that makes it so you become immune to depression, because I was always looking for a way to get stronger. There's always something in me that I could do something better. So in other words, these things that are coming at you are like little bit of chisels in your life that actually forms and carves a new way about you. And it carves a new way that you're going to work with your energy. So when obstacles are perfectly placed in your path, it's not there to punish you. It's there for a means to make you into this evolved person. This person that is constantly going to be changing, constantly going to be doing the things that they need. The purpose was there to be able to make you so that you're constantly evolving. So in other words, if you have a friend that is always looking backwards and you're talking with them and they're always talking like you were the way you were 10 years ago, and their picture of you is like it was 10 years ago, that's not the best friend in the sense, because you're always going backwards. You're always trying then to be the way you were. You probably won't even remember the way you were. A best friend is the one that evolves with you. And they're always mentioning the odd time in the old days. However, they're always saying we have new challenges that we're always doing. When we first start out, we have spouses, then we have children, then they grow up, then there's school, and then there's university with the kids. So that whole evolution is, if your friend is following all of that, that's great, because they're growing alongside of you. And they understand what it's like to be, you know, whatever you were, plus 30, 40, or 50 years. They understand that evolution, and that would be a good friend to stay with. But a lot of people, when they say that was really unfair, they kind of deny that existence, because it is the struggle that makes us stronger. There's never been a time where ease was because you've evolved faster. You know, there is no growth when things are easy. And when was the last time you realized that struggle or lack of struggle or comfort was the catalyst to force you to transform? That doesn't even make any sense. If we're not forced to do anything, we don't as humans. We really don't. I mean, if you look at any kind of an example of what you want to do, the first thing people go for is whatever the easiest thing is. Not everybody wants to go to the first 2 or 3 weeks of boot camp in the Army. That was the thing. But, you know, they're always looking for something easier. They're always looking for something that they don't have to work as hard. That is in our society quite a bit. One of the things that Spirit is saying regarding depression is that it is the result of a negative definition of something within you that is changing its way and changing its direction. What they're saying is, when you are looking outward, let's say you're looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend or just someone to date, and you've always had it in your energy that people were telling you that no one's going to love you, no one's going to want you, no one's going to want you as a husband, no one's going to want you as a wife, or whatever the case might have been. We're using the most extremes here. Nobody will want you. So if you take that in as fact, that you are unlovable, or you will not find somebody great. Do you see the conflict when you actually do? When you find somebody great and they say, you know, I love you, we should go together. Then what ends up happening is, what we do then is we look outside of all of the other evidence that shows that we are lovable. Of course, we won't find it because we're in the mode inside that we're not. So when we are doing that, it's called compression. We are compressing all of the energy of whatever it is, trying to bring in various examples of things that are trying to validate the fact that we are lovable. So when that's compressed, it is a good feeling because we're trying to bring in information. Once we exhaust that, and it happens very quickly after that because all of the answers, of course, are within you, then we start moving inward. When we go inward, and the question we're asking, am I lovable? Am I okay with it? This person says that they really like me. Then this old energy that comes out when you were younger, that you're unlovable, will start coming out. And do you see, that's a negative definition of something within you. Then there is that same compression energy, but it implodes. It's depression. That's the feeling that it is. It's something that we have a negative definition on that other people have given us, because it isn't true. I mean, you weren't born like that. When you came in as a baby, you thought you were the most cutest thing ever. You know, you're bald, you have no teeth, and we thought we were the most beautiful thing ever. A lot of people would say that. What a cute baby. What a cute kid. And then people would tell you that all the time. And we believe in it, at least for a while, until other things would happen, whether people go to foster homes or people go to other places. And wherever they get that information that you are now no longer lovable, it all depends on where the child's thought patterns are. As soon as that child takes it in that they are unlovable, that they did something wrong, that's something that we'll start cultivating, and it's a negative definition. And it wasn't there when we started, but it is still a belief system. When we start to feed that and look at that, what ends up happening is when something happens where there is the person, they're saying that they love me, it conflicts with this definition. And that's where we become depressed. That's when we hesitate. Is this the right person? I bet you they have an ulterior motive. All kinds of other things come into play because it's now touching this belief system. The same thing goes with improving yourself. And it's very common when people say that I feel like I'm not enough. I hear that quite a bit, actually, when people say I try and try and it's just not enough. When I got picked for the ball game, I couldn't throw the ball far enough. We couldn't win. I could never score. I could never score enough. In other words, there's always this lower common denominator of not being enough. Then when you go to get work and then you realize that, oh, geez, you know, it's really challenging in this job and I know I'm doing a good job and everything, but I sure could use more money. And so when people are in that position, they go into a depression because, again, when they have to approach their boss saying, if I'm doing such a great job, I wonder if you'd consider a raise. They couldn't even ask that because inside there's a negative definition of I'm not enough. And when they actually say that I just feel I'm not enough, they're actually giving identity to that. When we look at depression, try to stop saying that I'm depressed or I have anxiety, because you're putting something that is attached to you energetically that's not you, it's just attached to you. You feel it. You feel this depression energy. But when you say, I'm depressed, you're giving identity to that depression, which makes the roots longer and more inside of you because now it's blended with your energy and you can't find where the depression ends and where you begin. I've heard some people say, my depression. And in a sentence, they would say something like, you know, there's a reason why I haven't been successful all these years is because as soon as my depression kicks in, I start to become lethargic. I just don't have the right energy anymore. I can't sleep. Do you see how some of those statistics do come into play when they are fed what is negative within them? It's not the fault of the obstacle or whatever it is that you're dealing with. It's the obstacle that's trying to make you stronger so you can start finally addressing the fact that you are great, that you are loving, that you are enough. Because all those things are exactly what the body feels. These are universal feelings. You can't change. The reason you're on this earth is for an absolute purpose. But if you feel in your perception, your purpose is very low. And this is one of the themes. Although our energy and our color today is orange, It's linked to self-worth. When you don't feel like you have self-worth, boy, oh boy, everything in your life, all the obstacles will come and start challenging you on your self-worth. It'll send you the most amazing person to see if you actually deserve them. It'll send you to the best jobs, like dream jobs, to see if you are worthy of being in that job. These are the same people that sometimes will win lotteries. It's the same people that will get all these great things out of nowhere, and within a very short time, it's gone. There's been several contests that I've even heard about just in our local areas here in Ottawa where people have won homes, million-dollar homes they've won, and a year later, they're on the street because it's such a great, and they don't know how to handle it, and then it conflicts with their inner being saying that, I'm not enough. I'm just not enough. And that narrative again and again and again, eventually some things will happen one after the other where you'll end up being where your energy finally will rest. So stop giving the depression an identity. However, you realize that it is because something out there is what you're working on. If you've been rejected by somebody else, that's part of the depression because why would it matter? Who cares what they think of you? It's your energy and your purpose and your journey down here to get through it. Another description that I heard recently was, depression is a crisis that is a lack of your self-worth to such a degree that it becomes your identity. It becomes who you are. When people see you, oh, there's the person, they're always down. I even know people like that. Old friends are like that. They never used to be like that. When I knew them many, many years ago, probably decades, they were very uplifting people. Somehow something happened in that time, whether it was obstacles or whether it was divorces or whatever, one thing after another, but somehow something changed. And we all go through various obstacles, but it's your reaction that how are you going to get through it? If you're going to get through it and just be despondent and not address anything, then the depression energy will just simply still be there. There are ways to be able to get it so we don't feel it so much, but that's not the answer in terms of doing it chemically. It'll buy you some time, you'll feel better, but all that does is just remove some of the receptors that's making alarm bells go off for you to do something. This is the idea. When we get into this depression energy, you want to be able to make sure that you address what's inside that's very strong first, because that's really what it comes down to. In this meditation that we're going to come up, I want you to write something down that will surprise you, like something that you've really been working with for quite some time, but you're not sure if you're going to get. I want you to write that down, whether you want to be a speaker at a big event coming up, or whether you just want to be able to move from where you are to a bigger place, a nicer place, or whether you want to have more time with your children or grandchildren, or you just want to start growing, and there's always been some hiccup in you doing it, I want you to just write that down. Write one or two, no more than two. We don't want to overwhelm you. There's probably more than two you'll need, but get the top one or the two that you'd really want in this life. This might be one of the things that's making you a little bit down, this downward spiral energy that feels like depression. That's what how people describe it. It is a depression, lower downward motion energy that we feel inside. And that's exactly what it's trying to show you. If it is a downward motion, find out why. Because there are some things that come to you that you have no problem doing. You don't get depressed, but that's not it. So whether it's not enough or whether you think you could do more, that's another thing. Sometimes people will say, you know, my pet or something died recently and I feel really depressed right now. I mean, in the beginning, there's that downward motion because you miss the animal, of course. That's understandable. No question there. But what is it about being in that state for 2 years? Or 5 years. And I've met people that lost their pet 5 years ago, and they talk and they act and they do everything as if it happened last week. That's where the question is. What did this pet represent to you? Well, it's the only thing I ever knew that was unconditional. I could love this, you know, when it was really tough at home. I could go to the barn or go into the backyard and I can just play with my cat or my dog. And it gave me a sense of security and comfort, and I could feel I could be myself. That's the thing. So it's not the animal that's doing it. It's the fact that you don't feel secure. You don't feel safe. Is that it? And then when you don't feel safe, do you have this downward motion? And if that's it, it's giving you clues as what you can start working on. I want you to pick one of the things that you're trying to do, and there's always been some delays. Write it down, and I want you to breathe in the color orange. This color orange is a very, very juicy color, as I call it. There's oranges that are juicy, and there's this energy itself. It is connected to this water element. The sacral energy is orange, and that's connecting to water. It's all about flow. It's all about having emotion. When there's emotions, people cry because they're so happy, or they are feeling something very strong. There's a lot of emotions. There could be tears involved. So it's a very water-elemented energy there, okay? So I want you to breathe in that color orange, write that down, and as we're going through this meditation, we're using the eclipse as this meditation because the sun and the moon is basically the male or the masculine energy and your feminine energy. And if you've noticed that when you look in the sky, the sun and the moon seems to be the same size, doesn't it? Well, that's only because the moon is so close and the sun is so far, is that it looks like it's the same size. Otherwise, there'd be no such thing as an eclipse. Because if the sun was so close to us like the moon, of course, we would melt. But it's just amazing how they're so well balanced. They look like they're the same size on purpose, so that we could see that it's all about balance in our life. If you have balance in your life, there is no such thing as depression. There's a balance of energy. There's always going to be something to do with balance, a giving and taking of energy, the yin and the yang, the masculine, feminine. And in doing that, I just want you to listen to the soundtrack and the tuning forks and just start balancing whatever it is that you wrote down that you want to manifest. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You could also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.